What are we doing?
I don't know, mate.
That kid is
superstar in the making. Like, the play's already gone, just please.
Just put your flag up.
Yeah, but what are you, mate?
I mean, I am a wanker.
You're listening to the Circling Rectangle Show, Australia's finest A-Leagues podcast.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Circling Rectangle Show, and we've got another different show for you. It's the same show, but with no men's A-League action this week, we are talking all about the women. Jamie Brown, you watched four of the five games. How are you feeling?
Feeling pretty good. We still have football. That's all that matters. There were some really good crowds over the five games, some really good scores, and frankly, it's just nice to have club football. And as a Sydney FC fan, who would have thought with the women coming on would bring us some joy because they generally win games? We were mistaken.
How good is consistency within the club, the Sky Blue club of Sydney FC? You just can't win a game.
We got a good philosophy. It's let's not win games. Although, to be fair, we're playing a legitimate title contender with Chelsea Dorber in that team. So, you know, it's not a bad thing, but we are also a title contender. But, you know, we weren't the only big name that lost this week, which made us both happy. So,
you wouldn't believe it, we were wrong. Very surprisingly on this show, I think we hardly ever get things wrong. But look, there was five A-League women's matches played over the weekend, and you wouldn't believe it, it's time for some results.
The results are in.
And kicking it off, we had ourselves a triple header on the Saturday, all three fixtures played at the same time. Shout out to the Dub Zone. That's a fucking great initiative. Jamie will speak more about that, but I think that's a fantastic initiative and it was good to watch.
Yep. Yeah, it was. All three games kicking off live, obviously. Those of us who are football fans know Soccer Saturday over in the UK. You know, 20 games, they cover all of the scores. You don't really get to see the goals, but you get to see the scores. And it's pretty much that, but with goals and match commentary. You're watching all three games on three screens, and you've got the panel on there, which was headlined this week by Teo Pelizzari, who's a really probably one of the best commentators Paramount's got. But it was good to just, you know, fan interaction, tweets coming in, comments coming in. You could watch it on 10Play. Facebook or YouTube. I was watching on Facebook along with a fair few other people. I hope it grows. But, you know, when you have three games kicking off at the same time, which I think was done for this reason, it just works. And, shout out the crew. They did a really, really good job of it. I hope it grows, you know, some fine tweaks. It wasn't as smooth as you'd probably expect it to be, but, you know, the first show. So it's only going to get better. And it was pretty good to start. Just goals, 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 as we always expect from the A-League Women's, the Liberty A-League Women's.
Goals galore. But we kick off with the first of the three fixtures, Brisbane Roar 2 defeating the Newcastle Jets 1. Jamie, how did you see this game?
This was a confusing game. At one stage, the score was Brisbane 3-0, but one of the goals had been disallowed, but whoever was keeping track of the score on the TV broadcast didn't realise it. Newcastle came back to make it 2-1 with a penalty, well-deserved penalty and well-taken penalty, before scoring what looked to be an equaliser before a foul called on the goalkeeper that, I got to be honest, I know you're a goalkeeper.
Part of the union, mate. It's a foul.
She didn't touch her. I think it was the Brisbane, her own teammate, that actually knocked her to the ground. But,
yeah, no, it shouldn't have been that, mate. You know. Goalkeepers, we are a special bunch. We are a protected species. No one can touch us, friend or foe. Foul.
And if it's your own teammate, fair, it's going to be a free kick, fair, for some reason. But unlucky for Newcastle, they didn't really look in this game. Brisbane tore them apart. Larissa Crummer getting the first goal, as you fully expect. She's a goal-scoring machine for Brisbane. But it was entertaining. I got to say, Newcastle had all the chances in the first half. Couldn't put one away. Brisbane had two pretty quick ones, and they buried both, although one didn't count. But
this is why you have to take your chances in football. It was an exciting game. A bit of an injury concern towards the end of the match for one of the Newcastle Jets players. You've got it written down.
Yeah, I can't remember her name. I don't have the injured player down, but I know she was down for a fair while, and she went off the field. So not a great way to start the season, especially for Newcastle.
Also, I believe it was her A-League Women's debut as well, which makes it worse.
Hopefully it's not a serious injury. I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have announced it yet on the website, but
we will update you on our Twitter when we get the news through. But we'll move on to the next game that I'm going to recite off. A very exciting game. One that I didn't see a scoreline coming like this. Canberra United 2, Perth Glory 2. We had written Perth Glory off before the game had even started, and they have just gone again and proven us wrong.
Yeah, I don't know if this is that we've written Perth off or that we've overhyped Canberra.
Either way, we have been found incorrect.
We're wrong. We're wrong, as we probably should be. Just fade us if you're a gambling person. But Perth were good. Two set pieces, two really good goals. Their first one was a phenomenal header at the near post, which came when they were when it was 1-0 down. Canberra started really strong, looked really good attacking-wise. Michelle Heyman, the legend, had many chances to score. Just unfortunately wasn't her day, but yeah, four goals in a game. Yeah, it's a draw. Canberra at home in front of a pretty decent crowd. Perth Glory playing away as they've done a lot over the last few years. Getting a really, really important point on the road against Canberra, who, I mean, we expected to be in finals contention. Maybe we were a little bit off there, but Grace Maher, if you don't have her in your fantasy team, put her in. She takes their corners. They're deadly from corners, so you're just going to get assists for days. So that's just my tip of the week, my fantasy tip of the week with this one. That's the one thing I noticed.
That's the one thing you can probably count on is Jamie and fantasy, a pretty good match. And if you're going to listen to anyone, it's him, especially when he said pick Leo Lacroix at the start of the season. Couldn't have got that more.
When did I say that?
I'm pretty sure. He was in your team, so therefore you said it.
He was not in my team. He was not in my team. I'd rather have James Donaghy than Leo.
That's a lie, and you know it. but yeah, Canberra United, Perth Glory playing out the first draw of this A-League women's season. To see Perth get a point, see Canberra get a point, and Sydney FC get none. So it makes me even happier. But also what makes me happy is seeing us proven wrong once again as Western United, who Jamie Brown just loves to bash their men's side, in their first ever A-League women's fixture, coming up against crosstown rivals Melbourne Victory, current defending champions Melbourne Victory, and Western United come away with all 3 points.
Yeah, this was horrible conditions. I don't know if you watched any of the highlights, but I watched this game. It was on the Dub Zone. It was their feature match, but the wind was howling straight down the field from right to left as you watched it on the TV. And I knew at halftime it was bad news for the Victory because they had the wind going in the first half and they could not capitalize on it. So the second that second half kicked off, I knew Western United were a chance and they looked good going into the wind, but they managed to jag the goal, the all-important goal to beat their, let's just pretend their rivals in a Melbourne derby, as the commentator said a few times. But I mean, the conditions were the biggest thing. I felt bad for the defense and Casey DeMonning goals for Victory in that second half because it was just, the ball just kept coming. They never got a break. They had a few chances. Alex Chidiak probably should have scored. She'll be very disappointed she didn't early in that second half. But hey, credit to Chloe Legazzo and Western United. They looked good when they took the lead. They didn't just sit back. They kept pushing and kept pushing. But you know, then they're a decent squad. They actually look like a really good team, unlike their men's side.
Yeah, so well done to Western United on their first A-League women's victory. Yeah, they looked good going forward. In the wind as well, they looked like decent. Yeah. I playing football for most of my life, you also agree, playing into a wind or any like windy fixture, it's a nightmare to play football in. Even if you try and keep the ball down, the wind just plays absolute havoc. Some of the worst games of my life have been played in the wind. So credit to all the women on the field to play in those conditions. But again, well done Western United on their first A-League women's victory and the end of our Saturday fixtures. So we move on to the Sunday fixtures, and I'm going to start with this one. Adelaide United 1, Sydney FC 0. Things you love to see. Jamie Brown, how good is consistency?
This one sucked because, again, the wind was horrid. The exact same
no,
way.
I have no excuses.
Down the field, there was rain. No excuses. We had the wind with us. I thought at halftime we went in nil all. We were into the wind the entire first half. I thought, hey, we've got the wind with us this time. Courtney Wine's going to take advantage of it. We're going to get the win here. But unfortunately, in the 87th minute, it was Adelaide who, from a Jada Wyman mistake, came out, didn't come all the way and fully commit, didn't have the faith in her defenders to clear the ball. The little header in just the Adelaide player, I think it was Murray, getting in behind and heading the ball over Jada Wyman into the empty net. The only positive I take out of this one is I did have Murray in my fantasy team, so positives there. But yeah, disappointing for Sydney FC to win the entire second half, and Princess Ibeni had a really good chance to bury one early in the second half, much like Alex Chidiak did for Melbourne, but you know, straight down the throat of the goalkeeper, and it just wasn't our day. It doesn't get easier for us next week either as the Big Blue comes to town, and you know, Melbourne Victory are going to be looking for a win after a first up loss.
Yeah, current champions Melbourne Victory with a loss, current premiers Sydney FC with a loss. But we move on to probably the highlight of the round.
Oh yeah,
One, because it was the biggest scoring game, but two, because of what it meant. Wellington Phoenix, for their first ever game in New Zealand, were beaten very convincingly by Melbourne City, who are a very good side. Melbourne City 4, defeating Wellington Phoenix 1, but just the atmosphere was amazing.
It was almost as big a crowd that they would get for a men's game, to be honest. They don't get huge games down there in Wellington. It looks big on the TV, and they create a great atmosphere, the Yellow Fever, but 5,213 people, a Liberty A-League women's and W-League women's record crowd, and you got to love to see it. They wanted to see their women play at home. They finally got it. Unfortunately, they didn't get the result. Melbourne City just way too good. They were in it for much of the game, but once the first goal went in, the floodgates opened, and that's the way it usually goes. You can hold on for so long. The second you concede, your heads drop, and a young team in Wellington Phoenix, their heads are going to drop when things aren't going their way. Unfortunately for them, but hey, a hell of a good crowd, great game, 5 goals in it. That's what we always say. We love goals here. And Melbourne City, after a bit of a down year last season, they look like they're back to being as strong as ever. Your girl mate, Briley Henry, the old Wanderers teenager, first goal for Melbourne City this year. She looks the goods when someone can actually pass.
Oh, I wouldn't believe how good of a footballer she is when people play her the ball and she actually gets good service. But we'll get on that when the Wanderers play a game next week. But look. Yeah, it was fantastic to see a record crowd in a W League fixture. Women's A League. MacArthur Bulls, that's how you draw a crowd.
I knew we'd get,
yeah, we'd get an insult in there somewhere, and that's what it is. Imagine this. Bigger crowd for A League women's first game in New Zealand than there have been for MacArthur Bulls all year.
Yeah.
Cop that.
It's good to see, but, you know. Hopefully, I mean, Western United's women's team had a bigger crowd than Western United get at Amy Park. So that was another surprising thing for me. But yeah, MacArthur, maybe you should pick up the phone and call whoever's organising the women's team over in Wellington, because they know how to promote a game and they know how to bring a crowd in. Maybe you could learn a thing or two. And, you know, I know you MacArthur fans, Riley, Bryce, you probably thought, oh, we got a month off now. They're not going to bash us for at least a month. Think again. We are always coming up with new and inventive ways to bash MacArthur, and that's not going to change just because the World Cup's on.
No, great, you know, game. I wouldn't believe it. Just because the World Cup's on, man, it's prime time bashing.
Yeah, we got plenty of ammo. Oh. I mean, how many fans did they have in the stands this weekend? Zero. Terrible performance. At least Sydney FC played away, and the Wanderers had a bye, so they had an excuse. But no, it was a great game. Melbourne City, much deserved winners.
100%.
They're going to be good again. They've recruited so well. Their defense is so solid. And when they go forward, they didn't even have Hannah Wilkinson in the team. You know, almost a golden boot last year. She wasn't there. But yeah, Melbourne City yet again, they're going to be, just like they are in the men's, they're going to be dominant in the women's again. So one bad season's all they had. Just one season to just reload. And here we go again. It's going to be a competitive season.
Oh, it will be. Look, don't let the scoreline phase you. Like, Melbourne City are a good side, but also so are Adelaide, so are Melbourne, so are Western United. Yep. There are plenty of teams that can still win this. We're only one round in. Don't get your heart. Don't write the competition off yet. We are one round in, but there was 14 goals scored in 5 matches in the opening round of the A-League women's action. But there can only be one goal of the week. And Jamie Brown, you have an honourable mention before you have our winner of the first A-League Women's Round 1 Goal of the Week.
So I have two honourable mentions. First one is a historic one. Jessica McDonald for Western United scoring their first ever goal. I wanted to give this Goal of the Week just because of the historical significance, beating Melbourne Victory, the defending champions, also their first goal as a team. But I couldn't. But congratulations to you. She now goes down in history. Elizabeth Anton from Perth Glory got their first goal of the season. A bullet header from the near post off a corner. No one was stopping that. But there can only be one winner of Goal of the Week, and it has to go to Rihanna Polisina for her second for Melbourne City against Wellington Phoenix. Little dummy through the middle. Can't remember who the midfielder was that stepped over the ball. Came to her. She cut it back onto her right foot just inside the 18-yard box and bent it around the back post. Beautiful placement. Not a lot of power, but she just knew exactly where she
perfect
had to place it,
technique.
And there was nothing the goalkeeper
could do.
That's
what it is. Technique.
Yeah, that's it. Perfect.
You wouldn't believe it. We've said this a couple of times on this show. Technique will always win. Yeah. And technique has won again.
I mean, yeah. It was a fantastic. I mean, we're used to seeing amazing goals from in the Liberty A-League Women's. I keep going to say W-League, but it's not anymore. We've got to move on from that. But it was a fantastic finish. And the captain of the side, you would expect her to be a decent finisher and have all the technique in the world. And it was fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go watch the actual match of that. Go watch the entire match because it was end-to-end stuff. Wellington had more than enough chances. They are without Grace Yale, arguably their best player last season. She's moved on to Canberra. But still, they had plenty of chances going forward, unfortunately for them. Melbourne City are just a superior side, and when they take chances, they don't miss often.
They do not, but that is goal of the week for the first round of A-League women's action. But we move on to the fun stuff. We go in to Hot Topics. And we have Jamie just bopping himself away on camera to the Hot Topic intro. Hot Topic number one, blow for the Socceroos. Scottish playmaker Martin Boyle has been ruled out for the World Cup. But good news for the Circling Rectangle Show. Our boy Tulips is in.
Yeah, Marco Tulips himself coming in as backup for Boyle. It's obviously a negative for what Boyle's been like for Hibs the last couple of months, but it gives Tulio a chance to shine. He wanted this opportunity. He went to Melbourne City for game time, apparently. Didn't get a lot of it, but he's in there now. Hopefully he gets a run. I'm not sure when he will or if he actually will, but when you put someone like him on, anything can happen. He's magic with the ball at his feet. So
we saw what he did at the Olympics against a team like Argentina.
Yeah,
this is his moment. This is a chance he's been given, like in the unfortunate circumstances for Martin Boyle. But Marco Tulio is a fantastic young footballer. He's been given a chance. I'm very certain he will take it and he will show the world what he can do. But also, good news for the Socceroos. French footballer in shambles at the moment. This is the worst French team I have ever seen going to a World Cup in a long time. No Paul Pogba, no N'Golo Kanté, no informed footballer at the moment, Christopher Nkunku. They've got no Mike Maignan, who's backup goalkeeper to Hugo Lloris, who is known to make his mistakes. But now, Ballon d'Or winner Karim the Dream Benzema has been ruled out of the World Cup.
Huge blow.
Massive.
Huge blow.
I mean, it doesn't change anything. They're just going to throw fucking Mbappe and Giroud up top and they're going to score plenty of goals, but it's just they're in a shambles at the moment. The French, they don't know who that. A couple of them have come out and said they do not know anyone who is in the current Socceroos squad, which is good. I think we're going in as underdogs.
It's good for the element of surprise as well. While Benzema being out for this game doesn't really affect where I think the result's going to go. I think it'll be an easy win for France, but it does definitely affect my opinion on how they're going to perform at the tournament. I think it's going to be they're no hope without Benzema in the team. Well, and all the other players that we've listed, but without him there leading the line, banging goals in, the Ballon d'Or winner, you can't be expected to win a tournament without your best player in the team.
Mbappe is overrated, the Ninja Turtle. But I'm going to quote friend of the show and now former Formula One driver Daniel Ricciardo. He said, who's going to win the World Cup? Someone from Group D. He's either going to be saying Aussie, 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 or Enchanté. Well, I'll tell you what, Danny Rick, you're not saying Enchanté at the moment. The French are in shambles. Aussie all the way. Mate, we are making it out of this group. I can guarantee it.
Odds definitely improved with that news, Benzema. If they can just jag a draw in this one, Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, 6 a.m. is the kickoff time. Well, obviously, Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock. But if they can jag even a 1-0 loss in this, it's huge. Going first game of the tournament, both teams are going to be rusty. Maybe Australia can spring them on the counter, get a shock result, get a shock win. That'll set them up massively. But, you know, I doubted them going into this tournament that they could get out of this group, but my hope for them is building.
I'm going purely based on the fact that I watched a TikTok earlier and there was a dog predicting the groups by heading a ball into a bucket of a bunch of buckets. And as goes, finishing in fourth place in this group is Denmark. Clearly.
Wow.
Finishing in third place in this group is Tunisia. Second place is the French, Enchanté. And in first place, I want to say Australia, but the bloke had the New Zealand flag on it. So New Zealand topping Group D. Well done, New Zealand.
It just shows how little people care about us in this World Cup. No one knows. I was listening to an American podcast. They're like, Australia's not there, are they? Nah, they're not there. And there were like seven of them. They were adamant that Australia wasn't in this World Cup until they were picking their teams. Like they did like a draft and someone had to get stuck with Australia. They were picked last, you know, behind Qatar, Saudi Arabia. Australia was picked last, but
underdogs.
Hey, if the dog heads the ball into the bin.
Yeah, and New Zealand it's, wins. Yeah, I'm going. We all remember Paul the Octopus. Well, this dog, I don't know its name.
Yep.
Couldn't give a fuck about its name, but it's onto something. It knows its stuff, all right? This dog knows football.
Too bad the person putting the flag in the bucket doesn't know football.
It doesn't know anything. To be fair, I am quite happy that it was at least the New Zealand flag and not the Austrian flag like I have seen several times before.
Oh, they just beat Italy this morning, so big ups to Austria. Congratulations.
And how good is Italy not being in the World Cup again?
Oh, it's just beautiful. Oh, no, they're protesting, but they're protesting. They just didn't agree with it, so they're protesting.
That's fair. Yeah, they didn't agree with the ethics of Qatar, so they're protesting. Well done to you. Same with Norway. Idiots. Yeah. But going back to the actual footballing side, this is the first World Cup in history where the current Ballon d'Or winner and even the runner-up are not participating, with Sadio Mane being ruled out for Senegal. But the better stuff for me is Qatar, host nation, playing in their first ever World Cup fixture because they've never qualified before. The only way they could qualify for a World Cup is by buying it.
Yep.
First team and host nation in history to lose the opening match.
Brilliant.
Also the first team in World Cup history to not register a shot on target in the opening match.
But they paid the Ecuadorian players to...
Well, clearly they didn't pay them enough.
How did that happen?
Honestly, it looked like... don't get me wrong, Ecuador weren't that flash either, but I don't think they actually ever got out of second gear. But it looked like literally semi-professionals versus amateurs.
Didn't Australia have a draw with Qatar in there? Qualification?
Yeah, we didn't get out of second gear either. We just didn't care.
Yeah, we didn't need to.
We didn't have a draw with Qatar in our qualifications because Qatar weren't involved because they were already qualified.
Oh, because they're hosts. It must have been UAE.
Yeah, goose.
I must be thinking.
And who are actually a decent side.
Yeah. They used to have one of my favorite ever players.
And we had a draw with Saudi Arabia in Parramatta.
Yep, nil or draw. Boring game. But yeah, look, my hope for the Socceroos is growing. I am only watching Socceroos and England games because, there's a lot of things about this World Cup that I don't like. As I said on the preview show, I feel like those stats probably would have been good on our preview show. But of course, Benzema, until this morning, was playing. So we couldn't really give him those stats on our show. But check out the preview show if you haven't. It's sitting up on our feed right now. And make sure you give us a 5-star rating. We are the best in the business at what we do. And that's get picks wrong.
Yeah, mate, so. I am the top two in this podcast. Made the top two. That's an amazing effort. But yeah, that's enough of the World Cup. We've got a lot of fixtures. As we said, Socceroos' first game, 6 a.m. versus defending champions France on Wednesday.
French dressing.
Clown. 6 a.m. Wednesday kickoff. And then we have, because our second game will be played before our next show has been out. So 9 p.m. kickoff, Australian Eastern Standard Time versus Tunisia. Surely we get 3 points in that game.
We should be celebrating a win come next week's show. Surely. Against France, and then we'll lose to Tunisia. That's just the Australian way, isn't it? Beat the big dogs, lose to the weak.
100%. Everyone has written the Socceroos off this World Cup. Everyone.
I mean, what do they give us, a 0.001% chance?
Yeah, all the predictions I've seen is we don't even, like, we score one goal in the three games, take 0 points out.
Time to shock the world.
It's the Aussie way.
It's the Aussie way.
It's the Stephen Bradbury way of football.
That's it. Everyone,
you wouldn't believe, how good is it? No, it is honestly the Stephen Bradbury way of football because everyone in front of us is falling down. The French have completely toppled.
Yeah. Yep. Italy's not there. So, you know, one of our biggest rivals in World Cups, the team that knocked us out in 06, they're not there, so they can't stop us. Also good for England. Tunisia is going to have some sort of issue going on, I'm sure. And Denmark, you know, who knows what's going to happen there? They're pretty much a great structural team tactically.
100%.
Pretty solid. So
Denmark, the top of the group. Socceroos, second. France, bottom out.
Oh, defending champions out in the group stage, just like the last World
Cup. And the World Cup before that, and the World Cup before that, and the World Cup before that.
And shock horror, they... Oh, actually, no, they qualified for this World Cup, so that's fair. Oh, no, that's the European champions that usually don't qualify for the World Cup, so...
And you wouldn't believe they haven't qualified for this one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the last three European Championship winners have not qualified for the next World Cup, so...
That's outstanding.
Pretty solid. Yeah. Can't complain with that. But yeah, hey, if Australia and Denmark can go through, I think a lot of people will be very happy to see France go.
Especially the English.
But England's winning this World Cup, mate.
And no one cares about it.
It's out. Like, don't give a shit what Jamie Carragher says or Phil Neville tipping fucking Brazil or Argentina. You're not real fans, right? England's winning. It's coming home. It's coming home.
It's coming homophobic.
Playing that damn song on this show before the first week back for the A-League.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you play that song on this show, I am walking out and you can do it by yourself.
If they win the World Cup,
I'm still walking out and going by myself. You can show. Mate, we are splitting up. That's the show is over. As soon as England lift that World Cup trophy, there will be no more Circle and Rectangle Show. You will never hear from me again.
Because you'll just never stop hearing from me again. I will be gloating for months.
You ever been to the UK?
But, nope.
Well, then shut your fucking mouth.
Family matters. Look, I mean, I like the Socceroos. I want them to do well because it's great for the domestic game. It's great for our show if the Socceroos can go as far as possible because more fans will get involved. Maybe Channel 9 and 2GB will stop being dicks about it and actually get on football in Australia instead of trying to tear it down and put up that dog shite NRL. But this is a tough World Cup. We don't have a golden generation. Don't get me wrong. We got a lot of good young players coming through in the next couple of World Cups, but this one's just a mixed bag for me. You know, when Garang Kuol's in his mid-20s, Alu Kuol's in his mid-20s, Kemi Devlin's killing it, we're going to have a really good squad.
Tulips, Gauchi and Goals, who's phenomenal.
Yeah. Umber, he is He's destined to be the next Socceroos number one. He can't not be, but this is probably the weakest Socceroos squad I've seen going into a World Cup with probably the weakest manager going into a World Cup. So, and that's hard for me to say as a Sydney FC fan because he's a good club manager, but... Should we move on to probably the best footballer in the world, bar none, men or women?
Oh, 100%. Sam Kerr killing it once more. Like there are three things certain in life. Death, taxes, Sam Kerr being the best footballer in the world.
Yep. On the show notes every week, I should just put Kerr's name permanently on every piece of paper I'm going to write on because she's going to do something. This time, she scored in a London derby as they beat Tottenham 3-0 to put them top of the league again. Chelsea on top in the Women's Super League is another one of those inevitable things. As long as Sam Kerr is in that side, they will be one of the best teams in Europe, and she's proven it again. How did she not win that Ballon
d'Or? Honestly, we're just running out of superlatives to describe Sam Kerr at the moment.
She's phenomenal. She even appeared on the Dub Zone. It was a video message telling the Perth players to be careful of Canberra and their home ground. But she was, you know, she's even given back to the local community, the Dub Zone, the local domestic game. Obviously, she was a superstar in the W League when she was around, but I don't understand how she's going to win the World Cup next year and they'll still snub her for the Ballon d'Or. You watch. You just watch. But she should be winning it.
We're boycotting FIFA and L'Equipe if that ever happens.
If that happens, so help me God.
Don't worry about Russia and Ukraine at the moment. There will be war. Between Aussie and the rest of the world, if Sam Kerr wins a World Cup, does well for Chelsea, and doesn't get the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah, because you know Chelsea's winning the Women's Super League in England.
Put some respect.
They're
going
to go real close
to
winning the Champions League, and she's going to be a massive reason why the Matildas win the World Cup next year in Australia, in her home country, and they will still give it to some nuffy that plays for Barcelona where there's only two good clubs in that entire league. So, but yeah, she's phenomenal. She is our white whale. We would love to have her on the show. So if you do know Sam Kerr and you are listening, reach out to us on Instagram at CNR Show, and we'd love to have you on the show.
Instagram, Twitter, you know where you find us. That's all in the end of it. But you wouldn't believe
it in the end of it. Yeah,
it's the end of the show, so now you get to hear it all again. Jamie Brown, it is good to see you. We have another weekend full of A-League women's action, and we've got two Socceroos games to come up. And yes, we may even talk about your Three Lions, you piece of shit.
Well, playing tonight, midnight. Get around it, guys.
I'll be in bed where everyone else should be because no one cares about England in this country.
Tough game against Iran.
Yes, massive.
Who again, probably shouldn't be at the World Cup.
I'll tell you what.
That's another day.
Match of Spain-Germany doesn't equate to anything. I want to see the USA-Iran game. That's going to be fucking amazing to watch. That is a grudge match of the ages.
This is a historic derby in international football, especially with what happened during the Trump presidency with that assassination. This has been brewing. This is, you know, West Ham playing Millwall for the first time in 10 years. This is USA playing Iran. This is going to be this has been probably one of the biggest games.
If Channel 9 or 2GB want to talk about football hooligans, this is the game. This is the one.
Yeah.
Other than that,
you're going to see it.
Keep your fucking writing and mouths away from our sport, you dogs.
Yeah. Just stick to your shitty dying rugby league and fuck off.
Yeah, that's how we're going to end this one too. All right, Jamie Brown, I will see you next time. Up the Socceroos. And, mate, another weekend full of A-League women's action. With the Mighty Wanderers back in action. Well done.
Yep. You get to see your new starting lineup with a couple of really
good players. Who just beat our men's NPL team who got promoted. And NPL, wow. Yeah. Wow. Massive.
Unlucky for your NPL ones men's team.
Mm. Or does that just prove that women's football is where it needs to be, right up in the line?
It's on the rise, man. It's absolutely on the rise, not just in quality, but actually in support. So I'm all here for it.
We all are. Anyways, we will see you all next week. Goodbye, Jamie.
Thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of the Circle and Rectangle Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We love hearing from you guys, so please hit us up on our socials, the Circle and Rectangle Show on both Facebook and Instagram. Drop us an email, cinrshow@gmail.com, or @cinrshow on both TikTok and Twitter. We'll see you all next week.